just a little bit? Because if I had a big yard like this back home, I would be in it all the time. Even if I was blind, Jeannie said. Grandpa cocked his head. Is that so? Jeannie wiped his mouth with the back of his hand.
Yep.
Well, I guess I gotta figure out how to get as brave as you, Little Wood. Jeannie didn't know what to say to that, so he just sat there wondering what it must be like to be trapped in a house. Never even get to play with your own dog. Grandpop sat there quiet, too, until Jeannie started to get a little sleepy. But he didn't want to go back to bed just yet, not until Grandpop was ready. The rain always gets me, Grandpop said out of nowhere. He rubbed his hand up and down over his face just like Dad did whenever he was tired after an overnight shift at the firehouse, but had to stay awake while Ma caught him up on all the stuff Jeannie and Ernie had been up to.
Senior, I know you tired, but let me tell you about your youngest son, she said,
while Dad wiped his face with his hand from top to bottom over and over again.
What you mean? Jeannie now asked Grandpop. The rain gets you how?
It just always makes me think about Wood. He was born on a rainy day, and even though it was ugly out, it was the happiest day of my life. Grandpop lifted his glass and then put it right back down. Jeannie could tell by the way it sounded when it hit the table that it was empty. Huh, that must be what it's like to be blind. You see things by the way they sound. Grandpop continued. And he was buried on a rainy day. I remember every drop feeling like a bomb falling down on me. He sighed, grabbed his bottle, and poured himself another glass. It's been 25 years, but every time it rains, I think about my boy.
What war was he in? Jeannie's dad made them all have a long moment of silence every Memorial Day, but Jeannie couldn't remember him ever going into particulars.
Grandpop sipped, swallowed. Desert Storm. We only lost around 150 men. That's it. And my boy, my son was...
The words became clay in Grandpop's throat. And before Jeannie could pick up where Grandpop left off and ask anything else, or maybe even get into Grandpop and Dad's strange and strained relationship after Wood's death, Grandpop reached over and hit whatever button on the clock radio triggered the robot voice.
The time is 10:54 p.m.
Grandpop put his hand on Jeannie's shoulder, which was still such a surprise to Jeannie that Grandpop could know where it was as the old clock repeated itself.
10:54 p.m.
I think the rain is starting to let up. You should head on back to bed now, Little Wood, Grandpop suggested.
Jeannie could tell the conversation was over. But the rain wasn't letting up at all.
7.
As the rain eventually tapered off, Jeannie fell asleep to the thought of this new secret he had to keep about Grandpop's fear, along with the sound of Grandpop breaking apart his gun and putting it together again, faintly slipping up through the floorboards. It seemed like he had just closed his eyes when morning came, and he and Ernie were jolted awake by Grandma banging on a pot from the bottom of the steps.
What the? What time is it?
Ernie asked as he and Jeannie zombied into the kitchen. Jeannie had done a quick scan of the living room floor for the piece of wheel. Didn't see it. No Grandpop either, but he couldn't have still been asleep after all that banging. Grandma pointed to the kitchen chairs.
Have a seat. Now, boys, so we are all on the same page, there are some rules y'all gonna need to follow, okay?
Grandma began pacing back and forth like a teacher at the board. Jeannie studied her face to see if any sadness about the fire truck still lingered. But he couldn't get a good read.
Rule number one,
Grandma started, and Jeannie imagined how she'd finish.
No leaving precious toys that mean the world to me on the floor.
We're up at 7:30 every morning.
7:30? Ernie yelped.
Yes, 7:30, and that's late. Letting you boys sleep in. I rise with the sun every day, round 6:45.
But why we gotta be up so early? Again from Ernie.
To do chores. Every day? At 6:45? But it's summer break. We gotta do chores every day?
Yes, Ernest, every day.
But at home, Ma only makes us do them on Saturdays, and our house is always pretty clean,
Jeannie told her, fearing this might be some kind of punishment. Grandma ignored that and put two fingers in the air.
Rule number two,
Jeannie's brain kicked in again.
Don't touch nothing red in this house. Nothing. Not an apple or a fire extinguisher, and definitely not the model fire engine that my sweet son made. We go to church on Sunday. I don't know what y'all do up there in the Big Apple,
Grandma emphasized Big Apple like it was a disease. But down here, we go to church. I don't want to hear no whining about it. Got it?
Got it, Jeannie said, thinking about how much he could use a miracle. Church didn't really bother him anyway, unless it was going to be a month of Sundays, even though it wasn't really something they did at home, at least not often. They went on Christmas and Easter for the long services with their grandparents in the Bronx, but that was about it.
Grandma gave Ernie the stink eye, clearly waiting for him to agree too.
Yes, Ernie finally mumbled.
And rule number three,
three fingers up.
Jeannie, you have to sleep in the doghouse with Samantha.
Jeannie told his brain, stop it.
And this is because of your adventure yesterday? You are free to roam around outside. This ain't the city where kids are confined to the block. Here, you can go down the hill or back in them woods and play fighting or football or whatever y'all do.
But,
Grandma popped her lips on the hard B. If I call for you, you better come. I'ma give you five hollers. That means you gotta be close enough to hear me. If you ain't looking in my face by the end of the fifth, well, you gonna wish you would have been.
Understand?
Ernie and Jeannie both agreed, fast, this time. But Jeannie could tell Ernie was already annoyed, even though they were only on rule number three. Even though they had way more rules at home. It was that first one, the one about the chores, that led them to slinging poop in the yard for the first time. That's what led to Ernie catapulting dog dude deep into the woods, and Jeannie somehow launching his behind him, where it splattered against the window in the back of the house at the exact time a car pulled into the yard. The dog was going wild. Then came the screech and pop of the screen door. Grandma.
Jeannie? Ernie? What in Sam Hill are y'all doing?
She yelled.
Nothing,
they said in unison, dropping the shovels. They hightailed it back to the front of the house. Grandma was already in the yard, looking from grandson to grandson, completely ignoring the fact that someone had just arrived in the most beat-up car Jeannie had ever seen.
Got up all that poop, Grandma,
Ernie announced. Grandma fixed him a look, frowning like she knew he and Jeannie were up to something. The motor of the car shut down, and the man in it got out. He was tall and lanky and looked around Dad's age. When he walked, he rocked up on his toes, as if he was trying to fly but couldn't get off the ground. In his hand were two brown paper bags.
Mary,
he said to Grandma, a short, unlit cigar that looked like a bitten-off finger in his mouth. He put his hand up to the brim of his filthy hat, tipped it. Grandma finally looked in his direction.
Crab.
The way she said it made Jeannie think that maybe Grandma didn't like him too much.
Who these boys here?
The man called Crab asked. He pulled the cigar from his mouth and spat on the ground.
My grandbabies,
Grandma said, waving them closer to her.
Ernie, Jeannie, this is your father's friend. Well, now, I guess more your grandfather's friend, Mr. Crabtree.
Now Crab made sense.
These Ernie's boys. So this one here's a junior, huh?
Ernie nodded.
Uh-huh. Then you must be the one my daughter been hemming and hawing about.
Who?
Ernie asked, startled.
Who? You done forgot her already? Shut up, Crab.
Grandma jumped to Ernie's rescue.
Ernie, baby, this is Tess's daddy.
Yeah, I'm Tess's daddy.
Crab looked Ernie up and down, scowling the whole time. Then he loosened his face up and mumbled,
I think she like you.
Ernie smiled, closed mouth. He tried not to, but Jeannie knew he couldn't help it.
But don't try nothing mannish or I'll flatten your cap just like she do them beer tops.
Crab hammered one fist into the other palm for emphasis. Then he turned to Jeannie.
And Jeannie?
Jeannie, right?
Crab held his hand out for Jeannie to shake. Jeannie gripped the big paw tight, shook it hard, and nodded. Crab spat again, then stuck the cigar back into his mouth.
What lamp you come from?
He said, cracking a smile. Each tooth on his top row was longer than the tooth beside it, like upside-down steps.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Jeannie didn't smile at all.
Brooklyn style.
Crab looked at Grandma, but she didn't smile either. Jeannie wasn't sure what it was, but he wasn't getting a good feeling from this guy.
The old man in there?
Crab asked.
Where else he gonna be?
Grandma replied, glowering at him. Crab headed for the house, bouncing on his toes like a crooked-toothed ballerina. Samantha finally stopped barking.
That's really Tess's dad?
Ernie asked.
Unfortunately, baby,
Grandma said like she was sad for Ernie, and even sadder for Tess.
He comes by here once a week and hunts back there in them woods.
Does he ever shoot anything?
Jeannie asked.
Sometimes, a squirrel here, a rabbit there.
Squirrels and rabbits don't bother nobody. Why would he shoot them?
Jeannie again.
Grandma widened her eyes. So we can eat them.
Eat them? Ernie squealed. Don't nobody eat no squirrels.
Grandma shrugged.
He do.
As weirded out as Jeannie was about this crab guy shooting furry animals and, according to Grandma, eating them, he was also really impressed by the fact that he was a good enough shot to actually hit a squirrel. Squirrels were fast and small.
So he must be a good shooter then, huh?
Grandma nodded.
He better be. Your fool granddaddy taught him.
Then she harrumphed and went over to the water hose, which was tangled up like a dead snake on the side of the house, right next to where Ernie and Jeannie had dropped the poop slingers.
Only one darn spigot out here, and it's on the wrong side of the house, she growled,
twisting the knob that turned the water on. Then she sprayed a quick squirt at Samantha, who almost hurt herself trying to scramble inside her doghouse. Grandma laughed.
Dog bark all the time, but run from a little water. She a girl, but she sure act more like a boy in that way.
Grandma filled the dog's water bowl to the top, which was a good thing, because it was already hot out there.
So hot.
Then Grandma dragged the hose toward Ernie and Jeannie.
Ernie, here, take this, she said, handing him the hose.
Her forehead was already shiny with sweat.
We fitting the 10 to the peas.
Peas, Jeannie repeated.
Half a garden full. Folks round here love my peas. Just wait till you taste them.
She was joking, right? Everyone knew Jeannie hated peas.
Hated them.
He would not be tasting any peas. But sure enough, Grandma had a bona fide pea patch.
Pea patch?
On the other side of the house. Jeannie had never seen an actual pea patch, a pea garden, before. It looked like a miniature forest except for the little fence-looking things in the middle that the vines were wrapped around. The weird part was that Jeannie didn't see any peas. Maybe because they were green and the vines were green too, so everything just blended in. Or maybe the pea growing wasn't going too well.
Okay, so first we check to see if they need water. We got all that rain last night, so my baby should be good, but it can't hurt to check,
Grandma said. She squatted and pushed her fingers deep into the soil, then pulled them out and stuck them back into a different place in the dirt, back out again.
Nope, we don't need none. So you can drop the hose, baby, she told Ernie.
She wiped her fingers on her thigh, leaving a brown smear.
So we're just gonna pick the right ones today.
But Jeannie still couldn't see any actual peas.
They must have been invisible or something. So of course he asked.
Look here, Grandma motioned for the boys to get down in the dirt with her. And if there's one thing about city boys, as Tess had dubbed them, it's that they don't do dirt,
especially wet dirt. You got to get right up on the vine to find the pods,
Grandma said, reaching into the tangle of green.
See?
Pods? Jeannie asked, squatting timidly. Gnats buzzed around his head.
Yep, that's what they're called, pea pods.
Well, that was a stupid name.
Reminded Jeannie of pea pads, those things little dogs who live in the house, not like Samantha, pee on.
Grandma was rambling on, pee this, pee that, interrupted only by the sound of the screen door, then the slam of a trunk. Jeannie guessed Crab was headed out hunting and wanted to pop up to see if he could catch a glimpse of him with his rifle, but decided that Grandma wouldn't like that, so he stayed low and listened on.
Now, if you snap it in half, you can see the peas in there.
Grandma handed the pod to Ernie, who bent it until it broke open and showed Jeannie. Inside the pod, these things that looked like little green pills were hiding out.
Jeannie couldn't believe it. Now, the way you tell if the peas are ready is just by squeezing the pod before you pick it. If they feel empty, like you don't feel full peas in there,
Grandma took the broken pod from Ernie and squeezed it, showing the boys that the peas were just the right size.
Then they're not ready.
Don't pick those. Put the good ones in that basket over there.
We eating all these peas?
Ernie asked, slapping a mosquito on his neck. Jeannie wanted to say, I'm not eating no peas, but he already knew Grandma wouldn't want to be hearing that.
No, child. I told you folks around here love them.
I go to the market and sell them. I'm going next week, and since y'all here and you're so strong, I might need you both to come with me.
Oh, okay, Ernie replied, a sense of triumph in his voice. If you need anything, just holler. I'm going to be over there dealing with the weeds, and y'all might as well get used to the mosquitoes and flies, because ain't nothing you can do to stop them suckers. Y'all must got sweet blood. Got that from me,
Grandma said, wandering away, slapping her own arm. Jeannie wondered why Grandma didn't just get one of those fly zappers they had in Marlins as he and Ernie squeezed and snapped peas off the vine, tossing them into the basket. They worked as fast as they could, yanking pods off sometimes two at a time because they didn't want to be out there all day. Not with the heat. not with the wet soil, and definitely not with the mosquitoes. Every couple of minutes, they would hear gunshots. Crab. Genie flinched each time, but he couldn't stop thinking about how cool it would be to be out there shooting that stuff.
You think that man really eats squirrels?
Ernie asked, pinching a pod, then leaving it hanging on the stalk.
I don't know, Genie said, now giving in and falling down on his knees in the moist earth to get at the ripe pods growing down low. Some of them had grown so big, they had busted open. Grandma hadn't said what to do with those, so Genie figured he better leave them.
Man, I don't think so, Ernie answered his own question. Don't nobody eat squirrels? That's just nasty. I think Grandma was just playing with us.
Another shot rang out.
Yeah, except Grandma don't really seem like she played too much, Genie replied. When they finished picking all the ripe peas, Ernie took the water hose, squirted their hands clean, and then sprayed a mist into the air. The water came sprinkling down on them like snow, making their skin tingle. It felt amazing, but before Genie could ask Ernie to do it again, Ernie dropped the hose and jogged over to the edge of the hill, craning his neck as if listening to something in the distance.
Thought I heard something, he said when Genie caught up to him.
I didn't, Genie said flat. He knew what his brother was doing. He was doing what he always did whenever there were girls in any situation, getting all crazy, or, as Ma would say, he starts smelling himself, which meant his nose was open, which meant girls.
I did, I mean,
I think I did, Ernie said, geeking out.
I'ma go check.
Before Genie could even respond, Ernie started down the hill. He told Genie that he could come too, but the way he said it, like a no-look pass too fast to catch, was in the way that really meant, please don't come. So Genie went back over to the pea patch, grabbed the basket of winners he and Ernie had picked, and headed back toward the house. He figured he could take this time to look for the piece of wheel. It had to be somewhere in the living room, and if he found it, he could just glue it all back together. But Grandpop had other plans.
Who that coming inside bringing all that outside with him?
Grandpop was standing at the counter, using a spoon to smear peanut butter on the side of an apple.
It's me, Genie.
He left the peas on the porch, took his muddy Converses off at the door, and left the bathroom door open as he washed the rest of the grit and soil sludge off his fingers.
Tell me, son, how does a small boy like you have a smell coming off him so big?
Grandpop tugged the tip of his nose as Genie came back into the kitchen. Genie lifted his arms, sniffed, didn't smell anything. Grandpop was wearing a white V-neck t-shirt tucked into a pair of navy blue slacks, a black belt, no gun, Genie noticed immediately. He had a tiny piece of tissue stuck to his chin. Must have cut himself shaving, Genie thought. Dad did the same thing all the time. Genie sat at the table. Grandpop poured a glass of water.
If you're sitting out here, you'll be sitting alone, Grandpop said,
setting the water in front of Genie.
Where you going? Genie asked.
Grandpop poured himself a glass of not water from the bagged bottle Crab had brought. He held the glass in one hand, but before picking up the peanut buttered apple, he set a smaller paper bag, the one that wasn't covering a bottle, in front of Genie.
Littlewood, the real question is, are you coming?
Then he walked out of the kitchen.
What did that mean?
But Genie took a swig of water, grabbed the bag, and followed. They didn't go far, maybe 8 or 9 steps into the living room before reaching that door.
The none your business door.
Genie inspected the floor quickly, his eyes landing on every knot in the wood, thinking it could be the other half of the wheel. Where could it have gone? Maybe it hit the floor and rolled into another crack. A crack in the living room floor, which would make Genie the unluckiest kid in the world, or at least in North Hill.
Grandson, reach in my pocket and grab the keys in there,
Grandpop said, interrupting Genie's frantic forage. Genie slipped his hand into Grandpop's pants pocket and pulled out a set of keys on a key ring.
What in the world would Grandpop need so many keys for?
It wasn't like he was going anywhere without Grandma.
It's the square one.
Genie pushed the key in, turned it, then turned the knob. The door didn't budge.
Gotta push it hard, son,
Grandpop advised. So Genie pushed for all he was worth, and as the door flew open, he stumbled forward into...
What the heck?
Genie gawked, trying to look in every direction at once. He glanced back at the door.
Where was he?
Did Grandpop have some weird portal in his house? Was North Hill some kind of country version of Narnia or something? Sure did seem that way. Behind him, he could still see the part of the house he was used to. The peeling sea green walls, the linoleum floor of the kitchen, the television in the living room. It was all still there, so he was still there. But inside the room, the none your business room, was weird.
Weird.
First of all, sunlight filled every cranny because the entire ceiling was glass, like a giant sunroof. Then there were plants everywhere. Everywhere. 6-foot-high trees growing out of pots, about 20 of them. Vines crawling all along the walls, and plants with crazy colored leaves, some the size of paper plates. Then there was the floor. The floor was covered in thick, fake grass. Grass! Vibrant green. It was some kind of miniature golf course carpet or something. Once his eyes and brain finished adjusting, Genie realized it was also crazy noisy. Bird sounds every which way. Tweets and chirps and loud singing all happening at once. What? Genie took one hesitant step forward, then another, until he saw, tucked between all the foliage, 5 bird cages, all made of wood and wire and set up like small castles. Some were entangled in the plants, leaves growing between the skinny bars. Genie glanced warily at his grandfather, then went from cage to cage. Wow. Just wow. He recognized the birds, one in each cage. They were the same kind as the one he'd seen pecking around on the front porch, the one wearing blue feathers like a cape and mask. They flitted around, their wings flapping against the wiry walls, cheeping their blue heads off. There was one window facing the yard. It had a brown smear on it. Genie figured that was the window he'd hit with the poop. Oops. He was glad Grandpa wasn't in there when that happened. Might have scared the old guy to death. In the middle of this indoor forest, smack in the center of it all, were 2 rocking chairs and a small table between them with a small cassette player on it. Grandpa moved slowly through the foliage, not stopping until he bumped one of the chairs with his hip. He tapped the table lightly before setting his glass down. Then he went back the way he came, pausing to make a chit, chit, chit sound at one of the cages he passed, and closed the door. Then he was back, apple still in one hand, easing himself into one of the seats.
Sit,
he said, pushing the arm of the other chair so that it rocked slightly.
What?
Genie looked over. He'd been feeling the weird grass carpet. It was soft as grass. What is this place? Grandpa took a huge bite of the apple, chewed, 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 swallowed, then said,
"This room here is my outside.
Had it added onto the house right before my old blinkers went black." He bit down on the apple again, this time just to hold it in place so he could pick up the cassette player. He ran his fingers along the face of it, the knobs like eyes, the row of buttons play, stop, rewind, pause, fast forward, eject like teeth. Grandpa could have easily asked Genie to do some of these things, to help, but he wouldn't. He hit play, but the music wasn't music. It was just sounds, breeze blowing, outside noise. Genie, still holding the paper bag, sat down uneasily in the other chair, trying not to freak out. Especially since they were sitting in front of 5 bird cages, which, Genie realized if you looked past the entwining vines and leaves, were arranged in a semicircle.
But we're still inside, Genie exclaimed, now starting to see all the things he knew Grandpop hadn't.
Like the fact that there was bird poop all over the place, and that some of the vines were so thick they could be hiding pythons or boa constrictors or something, and some of the plants were dead, brown as dirt dead. Grandpa pulled the apple from his mouth, taking another juicy chunk out of it, pushed back in his chair, then let it rock forward like a little kid on a swing.
"Littlewood, my boy, you're way too young not to have an imagination," he said between chewing.
He stopped the chair suddenly, leaned towards Genie, and sniffed.
"What?"
"Nothing,"
Grandpa pulled back.
"It's just you smell like your daddy and your uncle used to smell. Oh, hand me that bag."
Genie gave Grandpa the bag, then took another whiff of his armpit. Still nothing. "They pick peas too?" Grandpa set the half-eaten apple on the table and opened the bag.
"They sure did. They picked peas, cut grass, washed cars, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I used to be right out there with them. Your grandma don't play. I'm kind of happy I don't got to look in peas no more."
He gave a small laugh, but it didn't quite sound happy.
"Under the table is a can. Hand it to me, would you?"
Genie reached down for the blue coffee can and set it in Grandpa's lap.
"I'm also happy this room is completely soundproof. Can't hear nothing in here out there and nothing out there in here. Don't even have to hear her yapping about my babies."
Grandma called her peas babies and Grandpa called his birds babies. And all Genie could think about was whether this was what happened to parents when their kids grew up. When he and Ernie left home, was Ma going to start calling popcorn her babies? Dad, the remote control, his baby? Grandma don't like birds? Jeannie asked.
Ha! Grandpa whooped. She hates birds. Can't stand them. They always munching up her crops. She won't even set foot in this room, and these babies are in cages.
Matter of fact, she told me she's so happy you here, she don't have to feel bad about it no more. At least for a month. That's 1 month guilt-free.
Grandpa took the apple and stuffed the rest of it in his mouth, core and all. Then he peeled the top of the coffee can and poured whatever was in the bag into the can.
To be honest with you, slurp, chew, slurp, I'm glad she don't come in here. This is my private space, you know?
Jeannie had never seen anyone eat a whole apple before. Like, the whole thing. As Grandpop crunched and chomped, he pressed the top back on the can and handed it back to Jeannie. Then he stretched his legs out in front of him. His pants rolled up, exposing a nasty scar on his right ankle. It was thick and raised, wrapping around the bottom of his leg like an ugly bracelet.
What the heck was that? And what the heck was in the can?
Jeannie was about to ask when there was a muted thump on the door.
Brooke?
The voice was muffled, but Jeannie could still make it out. It was that guy, Crab.
Come on in, Grandpa hollered.
He felt under the table for something else, a small cup Jeannie hadn't even noticed, right next to the mystery coffee can. Grandpa spit all the apple seeds into the cup and spit the stem into his hand the way kids back home in Brooklyn did sunflower seed shells.
Seed cup, just because Mary don't come in here don't mean I gotta be messy, he said with a grin.
For sure, Grandpa had no idea how messy this room was. Like a bird sty. He put the cup back under the table, then he used the stem to pick his teeth. The sound of an airplane flying overhead came from the cassette player just as Crab forced the door open and walked in, dripping with sweat, rifle in his hand.
Hit anything?
Grandpa called out, now using the other end of the stem to dig under his fingernails. The guy was resourceful.
Nah, suckers ate their Wheaties this morning,
Crab said, leaning the gun against the wall, moving through the room like it was a familiar space. He and Grandpa started jawing about how deer season was in a few months, and who knew what else because Jeannie wasn't paying much attention. He was too busy staring at the rifle. It was 10 or 11 feet away from him. Boy, was it long. Then Grandpa said his name, which of course always brought Jeannie back to any conversation, even the ones that were none of his business.
And Jeannie are here for about a month. Ernie got a birthday coming up in a couple weeks, 4th of July. He'll be the big one for.
You know that's the one my little girl's spinning over, right?
Crab said. Grandpa smiled. Cocky. Proud. Crab didn't smile at all.
Annoyed. Worried.
I would ask you if you're gonna make him a man like how we used to do back in the day, but I guess...
Grandpa put his hand up to stop Crab from saying anything else about Ernie being made a man. Then he sniffed again and grimaced.
You smell like dog crap.
Jeannie was relieved it wasn't his stink again.
Crab looked at Grandpa weird, but then brushed it off.
Yeah, well, I know. It was so strange. Mess was everywhere out there.
Poopidity.
Crab and Grandpa went on talking while Jeannie snuck peeks at the rifle, how the smooth wood contrasted with the gray steel. Then Crab pulled a wad of money out of his front pocket. Jeannie definitely noticed that.
Aye, well, let me square up with you and get out of here, old man, Crab said, peeling off 4 bills and rolling them tight like a cigarette. Heading over to the junkyard, see if I can find a bumper for the Oldsmobile.
Now Jeannie understood why Crab's car was so wild-looking and why he'd never seen any models like it before. Grandpa held out his hand, and Crab put the bills in his palm.
$20, 4 fives like usual.
Sounds good,
Grandpa said, tucking the money in his pocket. Then he added,
and remember, not a word to Mary.
She still don't know about Renifores after all this time?
Nah, man, she think you paying me in bottles of your daddy's basement hooch and bags of dead flies.
Them flies are one thing, because that's the zapper doing the work. But that hooch is mine, not my daddy's,
Crab clarified prickly.
Wait, flies? Jeannie wanted to know what in the world they were talking about. Flies? Zapper? Like flies from the...
Boy, please, Marlon taught you that recipe, and I've been drinking it since I saved this butt in Vietnam, since before you was even born.
Yeah, Crab said, rolling his eyes. And now you drink it for free. And I know, crazy fool even left it in his will. Don't need to remind me.
For all eternity,
Grandpa chuckled. But then he tilted his head back as if letting the memory of his friend wash over him. He nodded, and after a moment or two, snapped out of it.
That's loyalty. And I appreciate your honor and his word. And for the flies,
My babies are grateful. Now, as for this scratch you paying me for the privilege of shooting up my backyard, this here's private money.
Hold up. Did Grandpop just pour dead flies in that coffee can? Was that what those birds ate?
Also, Grandpop had a private room, private money? Jeannie wondered if his father had secrets like this, or if he would need these things when he got old too. Pets that could only eat nasty bugs and secret treasures hidden in his own house.
Private money for what? Crab asked.
In case some miracle happens and I can see again, I'll be able to afford one of those intelligent phones like everybody been talking about, Grandpop joked. I'm fooling, man. It's just, I don't know, my rainy day stash. Me and Mary got ours, which is really hers, and I got mine.
Grandpop rocked forward, this time with enough momentum to propel him to his feet. Crab nodded.
I hear you. That Tessa's gonna bleed me dry, even though she sells her jewelry and whatnot. She a teenager and she needs stuff. Them braces alone damn near broke the bank. And don't even get me started on Karen. Every week I gotta pick up a new prescription for a new problem. Don't know if I told you, they cut my hours back at the plant, and that old bar brings in diddly. So I definitely understand needing a secret stash. But come to think of it, that's probably why Mary don't like me. She think I'm just using you. Crab headed for the door, grabbing his rifle along the way.
Or maybe she don't like you because you're coming to her house smelling like the backside of a mutt, Grandpop razzed.
Jeannie snorted, couldn't hold it in, especially since he knew where the dog poop came from. Crab shot Jeannie a look, but then turned it into a funny face, like Jeannie was a 6-year-old. Then he came back over and shook Grandpop's hand before leaving, closing the door behind him. At that moment, one of the birds began chirping like crazy. They got the other four of them squawking. And in that perfect half circle of bird cages, the rocking chair set right in the center of the arch, it struck Jeannie that it was almost as if Grandpop was the conductor of his own bird orchestra.
Grandpop, question. You feed these birds dead flies? Jeannie asked.
Well, yeah, 'cause that's what they eat, Grandpop said. To tell you the truth, every time I feed them, it's another one of these moments I'm happy I can't see.
I bet, Jeannie thought, but followed with, what kind of birds are these anyway? He had to know what birds ate dead flies and not bird seed.
They're all barn swallows except for one. One is a parrot, Grandpop answered, easing back down into his chair.
Jeannie looked from cage to cage, confused. There was no parrot. He had never heard of barn swallows before, but he had definitely heard of parrots, and no parrots were present.
Grandpop, ain't no parrot in here.
What?
Grandpa's voice was full of surprise. He gripped the armrest of his chair as if he was about to stand right back up.
Somebody done stole my parrot? Well, I guess that means I'm just gonna have to talk to you now.
He reached out for Jeannie's hand and squeezed it for a second before going back for his drink.
So, Littlewood, Grandpop said after taking a long sip, his voice low, let me ask you something, and maybe I should have asked you this earlier. How good are you at keeping secrets?
Pretty good. I'm still keeping the one you told me last night, Jeannie said. Matter of fact, I only told one my whole life, and that was because Mom made me.
That was the time Ernie was practicing his roundhouse kicks and knocked a picture off the wall. Glass from the picture frame was everywhere. Ma cut her foot, and I don't know who did it, just wasn't working.
Okay, well, how about you meet me in the kitchen at 2200 hours?
Meet you in 2200 hours?
Jeannie wasn't a math whiz, but he knew that 2200 hours was a lot of time, like 100 days.
No, at 2200 hours. That's military time for 10 o'clock p.m.
So why the heck wouldn't he just say 10 o'clock?
Military time. Old people. 8. Just before lunch, the grandma 5-car warning started up. Jeannie worried that Ernie wouldn't make it all the way back from Tess's, but luckily he was up the hill before the 5th call. And before Jeannie could even tell him about Grandpop's inside-outside room, Ernie steamrolled him and proceeded to spend the next 7 jillion hours going on and on, yapping about how cool Tess was.
Jeannie, I'm telling you, man, she's different. She's tough but sweet, you know? And she's creative and about her business. And she got that cute accent. Jeannie, she took me back to the bar and we had more ginger beer, but this time in those skinny champagne glasses. Jeannie, she says she likes my sunglasses. I let her wear them for a little while. And you know, I don't never let nobody touch my shades. Jeannie, she kept telling me to smile. She said she liked it.
You know I don't really just be smiling to be smiling, but she likes it, so whatever.
Jeannie, she thinks I look a little bit like a movie star, but she couldn't remember which one. But still.
Jeannie, I made like 100 earrings with her. She taught me how to hit the nail better. She hits the nail so good. She could be in construction. It's kind of amazing.
Jeannie, she gave me her phone number, man. Wrote it on a paper towel and told me not to lose it. But it don't matter if I lose it because I already memorized it.
Jeannie.
Most of it Jeannie let go in one ear and out the other. Only because if there was one thing he knew about Ernie, it was that he was a sucker for girls. Always had been. There was Keisha, who left him for the rapper.
But before Keisha, there was Jessica, a girl in his karate class who he fell out of love with after she hip-tossed him once. Hard. Slammed him right on the mat.
Before Jessica, there was Dominique, who moved from Brooklyn to Queens, which to a Brooklynite is like moving to another country. And each time Ernie fell for a new girl, Jeannie's cool, confident brother would become a goofy, googly-eyed fool.
Jeannie knew how it always ended, with text message raps and extra hard karate practice chops to Jeannie's arms.
Blah, blah, blah was all Jeannie heard the rest of the day, through dinner, and even through the after-dinner talk where Grandma called Tess a cutie-patootie sweetie pie, and Grandpa called Ernie a brick off the old pile. At least nobody was talking about red trucks, one of which Jeannie was thinking about as much as Ernie was thinking about Tess.
Blah, blah, blah up the steps. Blah, blah, blah in the room. Blah, blah, blah as Jeannie stared at the broken piece of wheel, wondering what happened to the other half. Blah, blah, blah during Ernie's push-ups and sit-ups, which he did for twice as long just because he was sure Tess would like muscles. Blah, blah, blah as Ernie stared at himself in the mirror, examining and super weird kissing his golf ball biceps. Jeannie even wrote in his notebook, number 461, blah, 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 black sheep, black sheep, black sheep? Do black sheep exist? Ernie went on and on, tessing the room up, and Jeannie continued to ignore him. That is, until Ernie said, oh, and guess what else, man? She got Wi-Fi in her house.
Record scratch.
What?
Yep, Ernie said, slapping his hands together over his head in a jumping jack. The internet.
To Jeannie's ears, Ernie's voice suddenly sounded slow and low, like, internet. Like this was a dream.
Jeannie had so many questions he needed answers to. He was getting nervous about the question backup. And his dear friend Google was apparently not a friend of his grandparents. But Tess?
Ah, yes, Tess. I love Tess, Jeannie said, cheesing.
I love her, and I totally understand why you're so into her. She's so much better than all the other girls, especially Keisha.
You think so?
Ernie asked happily.
Jeannie just smiled and nodded, chortling to himself.
Internet.
Eventually, thankfully, Ernie yapped himself out and fell asleep, snoring so loud he drowned out the crickets and the frogs. But Jeannie had to stay awake for his 2,200-hour mission. He glanced at the old digital clock on the dresser every few minutes, waiting for 10 o'clock. Moonlight made shadows from the things on the dresser, including the handicapped red truck. If he could only find the other half of it, he could repair it. He could glue it back together. Sure, Grandma might not have any hobby adhesive or cement glue or any of the other kinds of fancy glues that Jeannie would normally use on a model, but good old plain white glue would work. He'd just have to hold the wheel together for, like, half a day. Then hold the wheel to the truck for the other half, but still. At least it'd be fixed. But that couldn't happen without the other half. The other good thing about this new discovery of Tess's internet was that maybe he could figure something else out. Maybe he could find someone online in North Hill giving away models and he could just do some surgery, take a wheel from something else and attach it to the red truck. And because of this, the internet, he felt a flush of Tess love. Was that how Ernie felt? When what had to be the world's slowest moving clock finally arranged its glowing red robot dashes to 10 o'clock, Jeannie rolled off the bed and creep-walked down to the kitchen. Grandpop was already there.
Right on time, he said, voice low. His clock had just finished saying, P.M.
Jeannie could also hear Grandma's snores coming from her and Grandpop's bedroom.
Whoa, she was as loud as Ernie.
As soon as Jeannie was sitting, Grandpop dove right in, his voice dropping even lower.
So remember last night when we were talking?
About the gun?
Jeannie cut him off.
No, about how I haven't been outside, like, really been outside, in years?
Oh, yep. You said you were,
concerned, Jeannie said, keeping his voice as soft as Grandpa's. Grandpa shifted in his seat.
Is that what I said?
Yep.
Well, I want you to take me out there. Help me practice.
Practice what? When? Jeannie asked.
Practice, well, being outside. Like, really outside. Now.
Jeannie glanced to his left and to his right. Just felt like someone else had to be listening. At least he hoped someone else was listening, so that he would know he wasn't the only person hearing how crazy Grandpa was sounding.
Outside? Outside.
But it's dark.
Don't matter to me. Matter to you?
Guess not.
But I don't have no shoes on. Got on socks?
No.
Jeannie should have had on socks, especially since his mother had warned him about the splinters in the floor upstairs, but he just couldn't sleep in them. He unstuck his feet from the warm linoleum and wiggled his toes.
Grandpa kicked off his slippers.
Me either. So you gonna take me out there or not?
Back home, Jeannie's mom would never let him or Ernie be outside that time of night. Only wild kids were out after dark, she said. But up there on that hill, Jeannie and Grandpa were the only wild ones, so Jeannie figured they'd be fine.
Maybe.
Probably. Plus, Samantha, the guard dog, would be out there, right?
So, okay,
he reluctantly agreed. Grandpa put his hands together in a single silent clap.
Great! Come on!
He made his way silently to the front door. Jeannie knew Grandma would not be cool with this. He wasn't even really sure if he was all the way cool with it, because if he broke her husband like he broke her red truck, she might never forgive him. But it was happening anyway. What he couldn't help but wonder was why Grandpa chose now to do this, why all of a sudden he wanted to go exploring after so many years, and why do it with Jeannie, his 11-year-old grandson from Brooklyn, who knew nothing about the country outside in the nighttime.
Grandpa, Jeannie whispered as he was unlocking the door. Wouldn't it be better to do this during the day? Because I...
Grandpa started, but caught his words and began again.
Because I don't need nobody thinking I gotta be babysat or something. Like I can't do for myself. Even though I can't see people, I know they can see me, and I don't like that.
Jeannie could understand that, especially after what Dad explained about Grandpa.
So why don't you just ask Grandma to take you then? Jeannie asked. Especially since she already takes care of you.
Grandpop's voice went cold.
You got one more time to say she takes care of me. I'm not gonna tell you again. She doesn't.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I just meant...
Grandpop had unlocked and opened the door.
Listen, I'll tell you why I can't ask her when we get out there, he said, rolling over the question.
He grabbed at Jeannie's shoulder the second they stepped out onto the porch.
Whoa, he really was nervous.
Jeannie also realized that it was dark and light at the same time. It was dark because it was night, but the moon looked as close as the sun did during the day. Jeannie remembered how Ma used to call it God's night light when he was little, and for a second, he wondered what his parents were doing at that very moment. He hoped that they were doing something nice, like maybe walking home from dinner someplace, maybe even looking up at the same moon. Not, he hoped, at home arguing. It was still pretty warm outside. The crickets and the frogs were in full swing with a loud game of peat and repeat. They hadn't drowned the night before, and Jeannie felt unexpectedly relieved, like he wanted to make a ribbit or a whatever sound crickets make himself.
Take it slow, son,
Grandpa said, positioning Jeannie in front of him and placing a hand on each of Jeannie's shoulders.
There are steps coming up. I'm used to those from going to the car from a doctor's appointment, but still, take it slow.
Jeannie didn't need to be told that. He was just as nervous as Grandpa.
Okay, here's the first step, Jeannie warned softly, easing down to it.
Grandpa squeezed his shoulders.
Step.
They both took a step down, then another. Jeannie was now on the grass, but Grandpa had one more step to go. Again, Jeannie said, step. Grandpa took the final step off the porch, still clinging tight to Jeannie. The dew-covered grass tickled Jeannie's feet, and he instantly started walking up on his toes just like the man Crab did. He had never felt wet grass on his feet before, and he decided he didn't really like it.
So where you want to go? Jeannie asked, taking another step forward.
With Grandpa holding on to Jeannie's shoulders for dear life, Jeannie felt like he was wearing a human-sized backpack, one that could talk.
Take me to the middle of the yard, was Grandpa's order,
but Jeannie could hear the shake in his voice. Jeannie tiptoed as slowly as he could. Grandpop counting under his breath the whole time until they got to where Jeannie guessed was the middle of the yard.
17, Grandpop said.
finally letting go of Jeannie's shoulders. He breathed deeply like he was trying to suck in all the breeze, or maybe smell the night. What outside really smelled like. What was odd was that Samantha didn't bark. As a matter of fact, he didn't hear a chain move at all. Maybe she was sleeping too. Grandpop was turning his head every which way, listening to the bugs and the critters, who were so loud it was no wonder Samantha didn't hear him and Grandpop.
"It's been a while,"
Grandpop said it like he was talking to the outside. As if outside was a person, he rocked back and forth on his toes, then bent down to roll his pant legs up to the middle of his shins.
"I never could stand wet cuffs," he muttered.
And there was that scar again, the smooth of it gleaming in the moonlight. "Grandpop, I've been meaning to ask you, what happened to your ankle? I saw it earlier today." Grandpop began to march in place, just a few steps as if to stretch his legs.
"Ah, Detective Littlewood finds another clue," he said. "Tell me something. You this nosy with everybody or just old blind men?"
Jeannie didn't answer, because if he did, he would have had to say everybody. He didn't know any other old blind men.
"Okay," Grandpop sighed. "It has to do with why your grandma ain't my, let's just say, first choice for this expedition."
Grandpop stopped marching.
"When I first went blind, I used to walk around out here all the time. I just didn't want my life to change. I didn't want things to be different."
He tilted his head way back, as if looking at the stars he couldn't see.
"Don't get me wrong, I didn't go far. Just a few steps off the porch. A little to the left, a little to the right, nothing crazy. And most of the time, it was just me sitting on the porch, playing my harmonica while Mary would be out in the garden shooing away the birds and whatnot."
Jeannie thought that sounded kind of cool. Grandma out there picking peas and Grandpop sitting on the porch with his shades on, playing some kind of pea-picking soundtrack.
"One day we were out here, and I stepped off the porch," Grandpop went on. "I took 6 steps. Was it 6? It might have been 7. To the left when I heard it, the loud hiss, like all the air being let out of a big tire."
"What was it?"
"What was it?" Grandpop snorted. "It was a damn copperhead is what it was. I was headed right at it, and by the time I realized it was a snake, it was too late. It bit me, clamped right down on my ankle. Hurt like I don't know what. I fell down screaming, and Mary came running over. By the time she got there, at least the snake had let go. We rushed to the hospital, and they took care of it, but my skin had a weird reaction to the bite, and that's how it healed up, with that scar."
"A copperhead?"
Jeannie knew exactly what a copperhead was. It was part of an extensive Google search he had conducted. Can, blank, defeat a honey badger? Turned out, no. Copperheads can't beat honey badgers, but they can beat humans. Jeannie tried to imagine what it must have been like to not be able to see the thing that was biting you, to hear it coming, but to not be able to get away.
Oh, man. "I mean, had it been something more poisonous, it could have took me out," Grandpop went on. "I would have hated to leave your grandma like that. So that was it. Mary was all messed up by it, and so was I. I ain't been out here since."
Now, this was the perfect time to be quiet, to just let the story in there and move on. But Jeannie's brain started adding things up, running the story over and back. A few steps from the porch, they were 17 steps, way more than a few. This was the same yard, a yard that once had a copperhead, which meant there could be more copperheads. And despite the glowing moon, it was still dark enough for Jeannie to have a hard time seeing things in the grass, especially something moving as fast as a snake.
Grandpop? Grandpop grunted. "You think there might be snakes out here now?" "Probably," Grandpop said with a shrug. "But don't worry, this time of year they usually sleep at night."
That made Jeannie feel a little better, but he definitely kept his eyes aimed at the ground and listened hard for that hissing sound. All he could hear, though, was the peat and repeat, and a sniffle? Sniffling? Jeannie looked up. The moon shone on Grandpop like a spotlight, and he was slipping a finger behind his sunglasses and wiping his eyes. Was he crying? Why was he crying? Wasn't this what he wanted? "What's wrong?" Jeannie asked, panic rising.
"Nothing,"
Grandpop said, toughening his voice.
"Nothing,"
he repeated, now a little softer. But then he took his glasses off, used his thumb and pointer finger to pinch the tears away.
"Tell me something," he said, putting the shades back on. "Are there any stars out tonight?"
Jeannie looked toward the moon. No stars there. It was probably too bright. But in the opposite direction, there they were. Thousands, no, millions. Jeannie had never seen anything like it.
Yep, Jeannie said, staring. A whole lot of them.
Grandpop nodded and gave a small, sad smile. Jeannie watched him, wondering what thoughts Grandpop must have been thinking, what memories must have been swirling around his head about being outside. Then Jeannie turned his eyes back to the stars and thought about how terrible it would be to never be able to see them again.
9.
Number 462. Where's Sam Hill? I thought we were in North Hill. Number 463. Is the moon brighter in the south? Maybe if the sun is hotter, then that would mean it's probably brighter. And if almost every star is a sun, basically, there's just a bunch of suns in the sky. Maybe the sun is the sun only to Earth, but to all the other planets, it's just a star. Like how Dad is only Dad to me and Ernie. To Ma, he's a husband. And to Grandpop and Grandma, he's a son. But to the people he saves and fires, he's a star.
Day 3 started with a phone call from Ma.
Ma.
Hi, Jeannie.
Jeannie.
Hi, Ma.
Ernie.
Hi, Ma.
Ma.
Ernie? What, y'all got me on speakerphone?
Ernie.
Yeah.
Ma.
Well, give me the verdict. How's it been?
Jeannie.
Ernie met a girl.
Ernie.
Jeannie.
Ma.
A girl? Already?
Ernie. She lives down the hill. Her name's Tess. Ma.
Well,
I'm glad y'all have somebody else there to hang out with besides Grandma, Grandpop, and that dog. Jeannie.
How's Shelly?
Ma.
Haven't seen her, but I'm sure she's fine.
Jeannie.
How's Dad?
Ma.
Your father's good, Jeannie. Sleeping right now. He's been putting in that overtime, so he has to work tonight. You sure sound pretty comfortable, son. Grandpop's not so bad, huh?
Jeannie.
No, he's pretty cool. And Grandma, too.
Ernie.
She made us pick peas.
Ma.
Peas? You boys are getting a real taste of the country life.
Jeannie.
But what about you and Dad?
Ma.
I told you, baby. He's sleeping.
After talking to their parents, Jeannie and Ernie did their early morning grandson duties, which on day 3 were exactly like day 1, just adding some pea patch watering, which now had the twist of Jeannie looking every which way for snakes. Jeannie wanted to tell Ernie about the snake thing, but he was scared that Ernie would start asking questions and then Jeannie would let Grandpop's secret slip. So he just looked out for snakes for the both of them. After the peas, Jeannie and Ernie went down to Tess's. Jeannie pretty much became invisible to Ernie because Tess was there, obviously. And that was okay because Ernie became invisible to Jeannie because, well, Google was there.
Internet.
Tess, can Jeannie use your computer? Ernie had asked as soon as they reached Tess's front porch, where she stood as if waiting for the brothers from New York, the city boys, to come barreling down the hill. At least Jeannie didn't wipe out this time.
Tess smirked. What you want to do on the internet? She'd asked, blocking the front door as if Jeannie might just rush past her and barge inside.
Well, Jeannie slipped his hand in his back pocket and yanked out his notebook. I got some research I need to do.
Research?
What kind of research?
We ain't in school, boy. It's summertime, she poked.
Exactly, Ernie said, shaking his head as if just as disappointed in Jeannie's lack of summer protocol.
Yeah, but I need to find out stuff like, I don't know, stuff like if there are actually black sheep in real life.
Tess studied Jeannie's face, waiting for the punchline that, after a moment, she realized wasn't coming.
Is he serious? She asked Ernie.
Unfortunately.
Well, in that case, of course there are, Tess told Jeannie.
She tried to keep a straight face as she continued. Black sheep are the ones black people count when they're trying to get to sleep. She stared at Jeannie, dead serious. Then her face leaked a grin. Jeannie sucked his teeth.
I'm just joking, Tess said. I ain't never seen no black sheep. But that don't mean they don't exist. I ain't never seen no New York boys either. And here y'all are, standing on my porch, looking at me wanting my internet.
You looking at us, Ernie cracked back slick.
Ain't nobody looking at you.
Nobody but you, he quipped. Tess stared him down and sized him up in that way that meant she either wanted to punch him or kiss him. Either way, Jeannie didn't care. He just wanted to use the computer.
So, Jeannie said, trying to steer the conversation back to what was important.
The internet?
Dang, you on a mission, Tess said.
All right, hold on. She swung the screen door open and dashed into the house. It slammed shut behind her. A few mangled bottle caps lay scattered by the porch railing, and Jeannie wondered if they were Ernie's badge. An old car pulled into the yard next door. A 71 Mustang! Jeannie had built a model just like it once. Sweet car, but this one's cherry paint was being overtaken by rust. Tess's house wasn't much different from their house back in Brooklyn, except for the furniture. The couches and chairs were covered in thick plastic. All of them. Maybe the furniture was new, and Tess's parents just hadn't had the time to take the plastic off yet? They hadn't met Tess's mother, but Crab didn't seem like the kind of guy who would care about stuff like that. And there were containers of wet wipes all over the place. Jeannie was about to ask who the neat freak was as a joke when Tess pointed to the corner. There's the computer. It was set on one of those specially made desks with the drawers and the slide-out keyboard tray and a designated compartment for the printer. Jeannie felt a surge of happy, as if he were reuniting with a long-lost friend. He was over there in a blink, setting his notebook down, tapping the spacebar on the keyboard to wake the monitor up. Ernie and Tess sat on the couch, the plastic farting as they tried to get comfortable so they could have, what seemed to Jeannie, uncomfortable small talk. Ernie asked Tess if she had ever eaten squirrel. She told him that she had and that it tasted just like chicken, but she had to be careful because the buckshots from the shotgun shells would sometimes be stuck in the meat and could crack your tooth if you didn't catch it. Ernie pretended he wasn't grossed out while Tess followed up with her own question about whether Ernie had ever seen any stars, and after he replied that he had seen tons of stars, especially since he'd been in Virginia, Tess slapped him on the arm and said that she meant stars, like Beyonce stars. And while they gabbed on, Jeannie focused his attention on the monitor, typing, "Is there really such a thing as black sheep?" Then he deleted that question and started with something a little more important. Where to find model car wheels? Jeannie scrolled through, looking for answers, but couldn't find anything helpful. Everything was pretty much saying, buy a whole new model, you big dummy. But Jeannie couldn't do that, so he'd have to figure out another way, and in this moment, Google wasn't being particularly helpful, so he pushed the red truck to the back of his brain and started flipping through his notebook pages, moving on to other pressing questions like, where do crickets go when it rains? And what's so good about barn swallows? While Jeannie clicked through the answers, reading about how crickets typically protect themselves by going underground, which led him to a new question. Didn't water sink underground? There was the sound of a door opening down the hall. Tess stopped talking. So did Ernie. But Jeannie continued to scroll and read about how swallows are supposed to be symbols of hope and life and should never be harmed, because they represent young people who have died, as well as brotherhood. Well, that was super fascinating, especially since Grandpop knew a young person who died, Uncle Wood. Maybe that was why he had all those swallows. As Jeannie was about to start searching the next question, his Googling was cut short. Tess, who these boys? Came a voice from the other side of the room. Jeannie glanced up. I just told you, Mama. These are Ma and Pop Harris's grandsons, Tess said, sounding annoyed. They visiting for a while, she turned to Ernie and Jeannie. Y'all, this my mother. Tess's mom didn't look anything like anybody's mom Jeannie had ever seen. It might have been the face mask and the plastic gloves that threw him off. Oh, that's right, the woman said, popping herself in the head with an open hand. I'm guessing you the one my Tessie been going on about, she said, looking at Ernie. Ma, Tess yelped. Girl, hush, her mother said, adjusting the mask's elastic around her ears. She looked like a ninja from the neck up. Nice to meet y'all. Sorry about the mask, but I'm a little sick, and I don't want y'all to catch nothing and take it back up the hill. I've been knowing your grandfolks for a long time, and I would hate to make them ill. She went to the window, and using one of her gloved fingers to bend a shade, peered at the bar next door. Ma grew up with Pop Harris, Tess explained. I ain't grow up with him, Tess's mother clarified. He way older than me. Matter of fact, I barely saw him because he had already been drafted into the army. But his mama used to babysit me when I was a little girl. She released her finger from the blind. It snapped back into place. And his daddy taught me how to make bird cages, which is where I think Tessie got her craftiness from. Jeannie perked up. Bird cages? Tess's mother left the window and leaned back into the corner, as if three kids were poisonous and she was afraid to come too close. Yep, bird cages, she confirmed. Back when the Harrises lived in a different house way back in them woods. The yellow house. The one Jeannie had noticed when he and Ernie were poop-slinging for the first time. Aim for that old house back there. That been Grandpop's childhood home? Now, Pop Harris's mother, Millie, she was the sweetest woman on earth, took care of everything and everybody, including me. But old man Harris,
That's your great-granddaddy. He was topsy-turvy, Tess's mother went on. Jeannie and Ernie glanced at each other.
What you mean, topsy-turvy, Ernie?